What can separate us? What can separate us? Well, lots of stuff can separate us, right? Lots of stuff can separate us. Look at a family. There is a lot that can tear relationships apart, right? So much conspires, and so much of it just built into the very nature of being a family. You know, you bring kids into the world, and then along the way of doing the right stuff, of raising them in the right way, you pay so much attention to children and the relationship that may be at the heart of that family sort of falls apart. You start to assume one another, right? Don't need to say things because you should know them. You've known them for so many years. You should know these things. Sometimes we don't say the things that we need to say. Am I right? We don't say what's on our hearts. We assume. Do you know what the word assume means? When you assume stuff without saying it, you take the word assume apart, you make an ass out of you and me. You ever heard that one? What can separate us? Lots of stuff. This week on the Today Show, I just overheard one morning an expert. Well, you've heard my definition before of an expert, haven't you? An expert is a has-been, an ex. It was a drip under pressure, a spurt. But there are good things to share. And this expert said that, I was listening, women are happier in a relationship, in a marriage, when they spend at least 30 minutes talking to their spouse. 30 minutes a day talking to their spouse. I imagine part of this congregation may be thinking, that's not enough. And the other part is saying, whoa, that's a lot. And I'll leave it up to you to define which part is listening to that in which different way. What can separate us around the table? Table. See, what we're talking about here is intimacy. Now, our culture, our society does a strange thing with intimacy. What is the first word you think of when you think of the word intimate? If you answer sex, you're very much a part of our culture. But that's not what intimacy is all about, is it? That's just one expression of it. Intimacy is about being in relationship with another, with others. The best metaphor for the word intimacy is not a bed, though that is one place where intimacy can be expressed. The best metaphor for intimacy, at least for today, is a table. A table. How does a family hold together best? What is it they say, you know, eat meals together around the table? May not be perfect. Talk around the table. Of course, I know right now it's one-sided. We're not having a conversation here. A table. A table is a central part of our faith. Did you know that? No matter what church you go into, I will guarantee you there will be a table. It probably will look more like that. But what is intended by this table is this. This lies at the heart of our faith. The table. The table around which we are gathered with our host. And who is our host? Jesus. This is Jesus' table. And we come to this table. Now, I've got to tell you, brethren have a wonderful theology. I would not be brethren if I did not fully buy into our theology. But we are also very practical, pragmatic folk. You know, for instance, if we were truer to our theology, we would not set up our sanctuaries in this way. Did you know that? Did you know that in the old days, did you know how sanctuaries were set up for the brethren? Did you know? They weren't like this, you know, where you've got some people up front and everybody else as an audience. Actually, brethren's sanctuaries originally were sideways. And on this side you had two doors. And on one of the doors, through one of the doors came in who? The men. Through the other one came the women. The men would sit on one side, the women would sit on the other. I don't know how much you would appreciate that nowadays. But it was more, on this side sat the deacons. And on this side, on three sides, would sit everybody else, the women on one side and the men on the other, to kind of get across the point that there are not, that we're all in this together. We're all gathered around the table. Ideally, if I were one to design a sanctuary, I would make us in the round. But I'm not. I like how this sanctuary is made up because actually it brings back memories of the church I grew up in, which was not brethren, but the church I grew up in had those wonderful posts and stuff that looked a little bit like this, and it had a lot of stonework up front. And so this reminds me of the church that I grew up in. Of course, also, if we were truer to our brethren theology, our Protestant theology, we would not have the communion table back here. Do you know why? Anyone? In the old church, where those of you who went to the old church on the other side of the road, we used to have that over there. Where was the communion table? Where was this table? Nancy, you're sitting here. Where was it? You don't remember. There was a raised area. This pulpit, there was just one pulpit, okay, and it would sit in the middle. And that table, both made out of the same wood, by the way, sat below it. Okay? The major theological point is that whoever's preaching, whoever's leading up here, is not standing between the people and God. In Protestant theology, the priest is not the intermediary, is not the intercessor. Everybody has access to God. The table is here, not there. It's here. But of course, we're practical people. I mean, I like having this space here to have children's stories and other things. So we've kind of separated, and said, here's where the word is proclaimed, and here's where the word is read. But if we were being truer, the table would be in the middle. And I got to tell you, putting the table in the middle is vital to holding us together as a people. When I went to Nigeria, and I did wear this, by the way, for a couple reasons. One is, this is about the coolest outfit I've got. Not cool in the... But, this is very thin material, so I'm keeping cool. but also because I was going to talk just a little bit about Nigeria. And I mentioned this before. When we went over there a couple years ago to listen to various persons, various groups of people, of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, when we went over to listen to them, we had various different settings. And the settings that worked the best were the ones where we were gathered around a table. We, for instance, met with, there was a team in Jos, Nigeria, made up of Muslims, Christians. Those are two major divided groups. And they'd had a lot of violence, a lot of problems in Jos, where about half of the population is Muslim and about half of it is Christian. And that this team, this emergency response team, was there to try to respond to violence before it happened or after it happened. And the room in which we met had this interesting table that we sat around. And that was a wonderful conversation. And there was another one where we gathered in a Sunday school room. We didn't have a table between us, but we were in a circle around. And that conversation was wonderful. And when we were at Colt Bible School, the person who was guiding it, our conversation, they're a wonderful person. He knew, and he kind of set us up. We had a meal, but we put the tables in the library kind of in around so everybody could sit around the table. And that conversation was wonderful because everybody could see everybody else around the table. Our least satisfying discussion happened at this one Bible school, ecumenical Bible school, which the brethren over there are heavily involved in. It's just outside of Jos. And for better or worse, they put us in the sanctuary, which is like most sanctuaries, set up somewhat like this. And so here we had our conversation where we, the American people, were sitting up here, and they faculty were all sitting over there, and students all sitting over there, were kind of at odds. We weren't really able to look at it. I mean, they could see us, we could see them, but it wasn't. And I think that had very much of an effect upon our conversation. I think it is very intentional that our faith is centered around a table. And I do mean the word around. I know as we think about the Last Supper, what image comes to mind? Various different paintings where, I mean, it's like a sitcom where Jesus is sitting here and all the disciples are arrayed out here. Do you really think they sat like that? That was for the convention of a painting. They were gathered around a table. It probably wasn't a table like this. It was probably kind of a low table, and they were actually lying down. But that's a whole another cultural thing we don't want to get into. Because there are various different ways in which we can gather around the table. But the important part is that we are here at the table, and we have real intimacy with God. Were you listening to those words? We don't always know what to say when we come to God, do we? We don't know how to pray as we ought. And that's not, oh, have I got the right formula? Have I got the right words? You know, I mean, so many of us, when it comes to praying out loud, we say, oh, no, preacher, you do it. I don't have the right words. I would just stumble all over myself. Yeah. That doesn't matter. We all have access to God because the Spirit is the great leveler. The Spirit, it says, intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And I'm glad that my brother Izzy is sitting up here because he's been having a hard time lately with words, right? Tears come more easily. Groans, sighs come more easily, right? But the Spirit intercedes through those. Those are prayer. Those are the ways in which God is, because God's Spirit knows our spirit, and God knows His Spirit and is connecting with us. Amen?
Amen.
You better say amen, because that's so vital to our faith. And these other things in this particular scripture, I can't hit all of them at this particular time, but this is the heart of our faith. This lies at the heart of our faith. You know, this matter of God is for us, who can be against us, isn't a matter of getting God on our side, not your side. I mean, our problem right now in our society is we're divided between reds and blues. Isn't that it? Or Republicans, Democrats, between conservatives, liberals, between you name it. They all belong around the table. You know, if I could jump just slightly into what's happening in Washington, and I really don't want to pay much attention to that, other than to say, you know, I'm glad they're probably sitting around at the table, if that's what happens in the White House. You know, sitting around a table. But you know, I wish, if I had my way, you know what I'd have those people be doing? I'd have them wash feet. Have them wash their feet, each other's feet. And then follow it up with, what do you do after you wash somebody's feet here in our tradition? You kiss them. Can you imagine that? How can you call somebody a liar after you've washed their feet, or had them wash your feet and you kissed them? How can you say, you know, don't touch this, don't touch that? The Spirit of God brings us around the table. And what can separate us? And the cue here is separate us from God, because God, it's about God. It's not about us being able to love God. I know it says there about how God is working through all things, you know, in all things, or however we translate that, for those who love Him. The essential point isn't how good we are at loving God. It's how good God is at loving us. Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes?
Jesus loves me.
Yes! Okay, we could say that again and again and again. That's so cute. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ? And the answer is nothing. Nothing whatsoever can separate us from the tough and tender love of God. And so we are gathered around the table, and we're about to do what people do around the table. We're going to have a meal.